My fellow Americans and my fellow patriots all across this great nation and all across the globe. So interesting turn of events as Cuba continues to fight for their freedom. Black Lives Matters continues to support the Communist Party. But this is what they do. It doesn't fit their narrative. So they're blaming everything on the U.S., which is always the downfall of all these things. Everything that the U.S., everything that happens in other countries, the U.S. is to be blamed for. Now, interesting enough, I'm going to read you exactly what their statement was, right? Then I'm going to explain to you how that doesn't work. All right, so Black Lives Matters condemns the U.S. federal government's inhumane treatment of Cubans, and it urges it to immediately lift the economic embargo. This cruel and inhumane policy, instituted with explicit intention of destabilizing the country and undermining Cubans' right to choose their own government, is at the heart of Cuba's current crisis. Since 1962, the United States has forced pain and suffering on the people of Cuba by cutting off food, medicine, and supplies, costing the tiny island nation an estimated $130 billion. Without that money, it is harder for Cuba to acquire medical equipment needed to develop its own COVID-19 vaccines and equipment for food production. This comes in spite of the country's strong medical care and history of lending doctors and nurses to disastrous all around the world. So the people of Cuba are being punished by the U.S. government because the country has maintained its commitment to sovereignty and self-determination. United States leaders have tried to crush this revolution for decades. Instead of international amity, respect, and goodwill, the U.S. government has only instigated suffering the country's 11 million people, of which 4 million are black and brown. Black and brown, hear that. Cuba has historically demonstrated solidarity with oppressed people of African descent, from protecting black revolutionaries like Assata Shakur through granting her asylum to supporting black libertarian struggles in Angola, and they go on in South Africa. Now, BLM, you are full of shit. You are a Marxist group, and you guys are fucking garbage. I have no respect for your organization whatsoever. First and foremost, if you haven't noticed, the Cubans that are being killed are black. And if you haven't noticed, they want an end to the communist regime. They're not fighting because of lack of COVID-19. The Red Cross offered them vaccines and they refused them, you fucking idiots. Okay, all this circulates to government, and this is why it does not work. This is why communism does not work, because the people suffer. The only ones that benefit are those in power. I promise you, Fidel Castro's family has large bank accounts while his son travels the world in nice yachts and the Cuban people are suffering. But since Black Lives Matter knows so much about Cuban history, they are a bunch of fucking idiots and a bunch of dumbasses. They just can't get this Marxist movement out of their minds. And they have to blame somebody. And of course, they're going to blame the United States. No, the Cuban people have more patriotism for the United States than the damn Black Lives Matter movement entirely. They are waving the American flag and they are saying that they want the dictatorship to go down. Okay. My grandfather fought against Fidel Castro's regimen. He fought in the war with Batista and he was on Batista's side, who happened to have been a black president and was replaced by Fidel Castro, who happens to dislike black Africans, who hates black people. He was actually known to be racist. Yes, if that's a surprise to BLM, because they know it all. Because BLM thinks that everything is the United States problem. Everything. Look, the Cuban people are suffering because of the Cuban regimen. Because these pieces of shits do not want to feed their people. Because they are filling their pockets up with money and they're living a good life, feeding themselves great food while the Cuban people suffer. And yes, you want to talk about how they have helped people with medical attention all over the world. No, they have not. They sent during COVID-19, they sent a plane with medical officials. Those medical officials later, the Italian government said, really helped in no which way, did not know what they were doing. Yeah, they are not world-class doctors because they're outdated because of the Cuban regimen. Yeah, you go to a hospital, the roofs are leaking. And if you guys haven't seen the pictures of how the people are living, then you guys are just a bunch of fucking ignorance. I would rather replace all you supporters of this Marxist movement and transport you guys back to, send you guys to Cuba and replace you guys with the Cuban patriots that are fighting for freedom. You guys just can't let go of the fact that communism, socialism, Marxism does not work. You guys just want to continue to attack America and blame America for everything. I don't give a fuck about slavery. How about that? And I'm going to say it very bluntly. It happened in the history of every single fucking country. And you continue this reparations bullshit and this division within this country. And at the end of the day, it's not going to change shit because we are not to be blamed for something that happened 200 years ago. People have evolved. People have changed. BLM apparently has found its niche and is getting tons of money and is doing exactly what, for example, the Cuban government does. They're a nonprofit organization, but apparently the leaders are profiting. While what? African Americans are still killed in Chicago. You know what? I wish people would wake the fuck up. The Republican Party, the majority of African Americans were Republican when slavery was abolished. The majority of them, as a matter of fact, the first senator and the first 16 congressmen were black. And somewhere along the line, the Democrats figured a way to get them back. But and it's through socialized programs like welfare, making them think they're helping the black community when in reality, they're making them depend on the government. They're making them depend on the government to keep them in the bottom of the food chain. Lyndon B. Johnson, perfect example. He did not want to sign that civil rights movement, but he knew that if he signed it, he would have their votes. And there you go. He has their votes. But people are waking up. African Americans are realizing this is a sham. This is bullshit. Republicans do not hate blacks. Republicans love every American, every race. There is some racist Republicans. I can't deny that. There's a lot of racist Democrats. I mean, we all know who Joe Biden was. Apparently he changed and he was forgiven, right? Bullshit. Yeah, we remember who Hillary was. She spoke at the eulogy of Senator Byrd, who was almost like a grand wizard of the KKK. But we could forgive him because he's a Democrat. We could forgive Joe Biden when he eliminated unlimited funding to historical black colleges. It doesn't matter because it's Joe Biden and he's a Democrat. Black Lives Matter is a hoax. It's a joke. It's a piece of shit. And if they haven't checked, the Cubans that are fighting for this freedom happen to be a mix of whites and blacks. They're all fighting for freedom. A 13-year-old young Brown, as they like to call it, child was killed in Cuba. 80 people missing. They have no access to internet. We don't even know if it's just 80. People are being shot. And obviously the Cubans, black and white, in Miami and in all over the United States are protesting to do something about it, to go in there, to go into Cuba, to get rid of this communist regime. My family fled that country. My family fled and left everything behind. Yeah, it's not a good country. People don't flee a country if their government works. That's why Miami's overpopulated with Cubans. You guys are a bunch of idiots if you think the sanctions, and I'm talking about BLM, if you think the sanctions ain't working. The sanctions are working. If you remove the sanctions and you mention Obama as if he's somebody to praise, watch the baseball game with Raul Castro, a guy that murdered so many blacks, whites, and all sorts of different people from Cuba. He watched a baseball game, and guess what? Guess what? He allowed tourism to get into Cuba, and what happened? The Cuban government was making the profit, keeping them to themselves, not giving it to the Cuban people. It's all bullshit. BLM is a Marxist movement. You can try to cancel me. You can go fuck yourselves, every single one of you that supports this organization. I support black lives. I don't support anything that has to do with this organization. But I do support black lives dying in Chicago. I believe school choice would help the black community. And I believe in equal opportunity for everyone. That is what I believe in. I believe no American should be suffering, but the Democrats apparently can care less about what's happening in Chicago, and they just ship our money overseas for programs that are not even going to happen or are non-existent. They care more about other countries than they care about our country and the Americans that live in this country. When I see a black person, you know what I see? An American, a human being. That's all I see. I don't see anything else. I don't see anybody different, lower than me, nor superior than me. I see an equal human being. That's all I see. But apparently the Democrats continue this race attack because they know that they consider the African-American a voting ticket. That's all they care about is the vote. They don't do anything for African-Americans. They've been making these promises forever, yet done nothing about it. And this is a very big disappointment. And believe it or not, the person who posted this about BLM is a person that supported Joe Biden, hated Donald Trump, and she was actually disappointed to see this. Now, this is why I love the position that I'm in right now, because we live in the great state of Florida, and I'm going to read to you what Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, sent to a letter to President Biden. I write to you to urge you to assist in providing internet access to the people of Cuba standing up against communist oppression and demanding a voice after decades of suffering under the yoke of a cruel dictatorship. As you know, the Cuban people are taking to the streets to protest the communist regimen, and the Cuban government has responded with violence. At first, the world could see the images and videos of this mass movement, but now the tyrannical regimen of the President Miguel Díaz-Canel has shut off many Floridians' access to the internet. The Cuban people have lost their ability to communicate with one another, and many Floridians born in Cuba have no information on the safety of their loved ones. Equally as important, the world has also lost the ability to see what's happening in the ground as the Cuban people rise to support of freedom. Technology exists to provide internet access into Cuba remotely, using the innovation of American enterprise and the diverse industries here. Similar to the American efforts to broadcast radio into the Soviet Union during the Cold War in Europe, the federal government has history of supporting the dissemination of information into Cuba for the Cuban people through radio and television. Mati, located in Miami, in addition to sending information, however, our efforts must include creating a means for the Cuban people to speak to the world. I urge you to act immediately and provide all necessary authorizations and indemnifications and funding to the American business with capability to provide internet access for people in Cuba. Steps must be taken immediately. Internet access for Cuban people is critical importance as they stand up against a repressive communist government. In the hands of these brave individuals, such access may be the key to finally bringing democracy to the island. That is a fucking fact, okay? That is a fucking fact. But unfortunately, Joe Biden's not going to do shit because he was VP during the time Obama was president. So it would go against everything Obama believed. He wanted to remove the embargo in 2016. Again, I tell you, these people are a bunch of elites. That's what they are. They want everyone to depend on the government. And America doesn't put up with that shit. And the reason I'm talking so much about this, because it touches at home, but it also represents what the left has been trying to do in this country and how bad it's become. And I believe that Cuba could be a perfect example to show Americans on why we need leaders like Donald Trump that believe in America first and believe in freedom. These people do not believe in this. Cuba, just for the record, Fidel Castro took Cuba with maybe an army of 20 people, and then the army grew. If the Cuban people are to survive this oppression and take over Cuba, they're not going to be able to do it with sticks and stones. They're not. And the sad part is that this is exactly how it works. This is why our Second Amendment is so important in this country. Because Fidel Castro, quote, he said it in Spanish, but he said that, why would we need citizens to have guns to fight against the government? And that's exactly what he did. He stripped all the citizens of their guns, not just their guns, their gold as well. Tricking them, tricking them and telling them, give us your gold. We'll give you a card where you could buy a color TV, for example, or a washer or dryer. And Cubans gave up their gold for that. So they took away two of the most valuable things, aside from the fact they had no freedom. But again, BLM supports this. The left supports this. And Cubans in Miami should remember this. Cubans all over the United States should remember this. America should remember this. Because this is what shows you their true colors. This is what shows you what a Biden administration looks at. This is what shows you their true colors and their true intent. And this should show you exactly what BLM's true intent is as well. It's sad, but it's true. I never thought I'd see a position. I mean, let me tell you how bad the thing is in Cuba. For those of you that can't keep up with this or it's not making news in your hometown. So they've gotten creative, right? So now what the new president, Canal, is doing is he's recruiting kids. He's going into the midst of night and he's getting kids that are 10, 11, 12, 13 years old to help stop the protesters. And in doing so, they know that they're going to stop the protesters because the protesters are not being violent. They're marching through the streets and nobody's going to hurt a child. And the child has no other choice because they're scared something's going to happen to them or to their family. And you could see clearly videos of people telling these children, go home, go home. But the children are scared. They don't even know what they're doing there. They're holding shields and they don't know what they're doing. They're kids. But this is what a communist country looks like. This is what socialism looks like. And I'm telling you, my friends, I'm telling you, this has all been a giant hoax. The United States government, the Democrats have been playing us. Interesting enough, you know, the insurrection that they like to call it. None of the Capitol rioters have been charged with treason or sedition charges. What does that tell you? They know very fucking well that wasn't an insurrection. But they used it to their advantage. They used it to their advantage. This is the sickening government that we live in. This is the type of government that we're currently living in. This is Joe Biden's America. This is the left's America. And they think it's okay, which is the sad part. They really think this is okay. So, interesting enough, the country's falling apart. It feels like everything in this world is falling apart. We have riots and protests occurring in South Africa. We have riots and protests in France. I believe the world is waking up. My God, by golly, I think the world is waking up. And they're finally realizing what these government officials do. It is the biggest joke in U.S. history what Joe Biden has done. This guy is not even addressing the Cuban people. There's caravans that are being sent out there. We have more support from people in Idaho that don't even know much about Cuba, but knows that they're fighting a communist country. The people are fighting against a dictatorship. They have more support from people that are farmers in Idaho than they do from government officials that know exactly what's going on in Cuba. This is sad. This is sad. But you know what? It should teach us a lesson. These people do not care about us. They do not care about any of us. And therefore, we should continue to fight. We should continue to fight. We should continue to fight at everything. We should continue to fight for kids not to have to wear school masks. We should continue to fight against this door knocking bullshit that they want to do. forcing people to take vaccines. What are we living in China now? Has America become China where we're being forced to take a vaccine? Listen, I don't care whether you take the vaccine. I don't care whether you don't take the vaccine, but you're not going to force me to take a vaccine. That's for fucking sure. The Democrats used to fight my body, my choice when it benefits them, when it's the execution of babies in the womb. But when it comes to a vaccine, no, your body is my, it's their choice. Interesting. It's just extremely interesting. Now, this made headlines all over. This made headlines all over the Hollywood world because we don't give a fuck about this stuff. Let's be real. Regular Americans don't. But people apparently are attacking. They're attacking Megan Fox because she said that Donald Trump is a legend. He's a legend. And apparently that didn't go very well on the show when she said that to Arsenio Hall. I want you guys to take a listen to this because it's great. Benny Johnson breaks it down so perfect. I love Benny Johnson. He's an amazing, amazing entertainer, amazing commentator, and an amazing politician. I mean, not politician, I'm sorry. Host on his show. Very opinionated, and I love it. Now, take a listen to this.
I was in a row with Bieber, and mm-hmm. Trump was also in my row.
Oh!
And, yeah. And I've never seen Secret Service in person before, so we had like 30 Secret Service with him, and he was a legend. That arena, like, was very supportive of Trump when he came in. And
that was Megan Fox, Hollywood superstar actress, complimenting Donald Trump on the reception he got at the UFC massive event this weekend in Las Vegas. You saw the UFC championship bout with Conor McGregor. Donald Trump walked all the way down ringside in the arena, and he was mobbed. People were cheering, shouting USA, USA, chanting on behalf of Trump. People were filming him, and even Mel Gibson, a legendary Hollywood actor, Braveheart himself, Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson was there and saluted Donald Trump. We have the footage for you. Actually, we'll play it right after this. I just have to say this. This is the thing that drives Hollywood nuts, right? This is the thing that makes them so insane, is that if Brad Pitt walked in to that arena, right? If George Clooney walked into that arena, if Matt Damon walked into that arena, if the biggest Hollywood stars walked into that arena, people would go, maybe snap a photo. Maybe not. maybe not. Maybe they throw the popcorn on him. Who knows? But what I'm saying is that Donald Trump is the largest celebrity in the world. And for people who value celebrity so much and being adored so much, they watch the arena cheer for Donald Trump and eat out of his hand, and they can't stand it. They can't stand the fact that he is the largest celebrity in the world, the most famous or infamous, depending on what perspective you're looking at, in the world. And these people, their entire life force is based on being popular and being celebrities, and they can't stand it that this Republican, that this law and order, that this strong borders person who presumably stands against everything. He's pro-life. He is in favor of the Second Amendment. This man is pro-America first. He stands for everything that Hollywood does not stand for. He stands against Hollywood and everything that Hollywood does stand for. They cannot stand that he is more famous than them. That's where it all comes from, and it's amazing to watch. Check out some of these amazing clips. Donald Trump being welcomed into the arena, and Mel Gibson giving Trump the old salute.
Those roars, baby, that's America. Those are the people that really voted for Trump. He's the legitimate president. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There you have it. And I love this shit. I just love it because it just continues to happen. It just continues to happen to the left, and they can't stand it. They can't stand it. I mean, Megan Fox actually goes, she actually commented on it and had to like defend herself and say, listen, I was simply stating the facts that this man is he was legend in there, but I don't even affiliate with any political party. She goes, but if you guys want to go out on a witch hunt, that is great. Like, she was attacking cancel culture. She stood up. I am a new fan of I was always a fan of Megan Fox. She's a hottie. But nevertheless, she's amazing. I love it. I fucking love it. And you know what? We need more Americans to stand up like this. We need more Americans to really stand up for this because this country is going to the shitter, and unless we do something about it, and the left is terrified. Let's be real. The left is completely terrified at what's going on right now. But as I've always said, I will always be the voice of the American people. If you guys would like to leave a voicemail and be aired on our show, you can stay anonymous. I know a lot of you guys have jobs. And I know a lot of people don't want to put themselves out there like that, but you want your voice to be heard. You can call our direct line, leave a voicemail. You don't have to say your name. It's 310-498-5463. That's 310-498-5463. You will be played live on the air. I love the support I'm getting from everybody. I haven't really been paying too much attention to the emails because I've been getting a lot of calls. So now I'm going to jump to emails today and see what my fellow Americans are asking. I'm curious what they're asking and what they're thinking. So let's go straight into the emails. I mean, I'm so overloaded. All right. So one guy tells me, watch this video. What is this video about? Okay, hold on. This has me intrigued.
Engaged in vicious conflict with the mother country, Britain. Because of this conflict and the protractedness of it, they had accumulated...
Okay, so... it's apparently it's labeled the Star Spangled Banner, as you've never heard it. It's an 11-minute clip, so I will play that one right afterwards. Let me check out another email. I will definitely put it on. Again, I always said I will be your voice, and I will always be your voice. So let's see what else. Okay, podcast request. Hello, the Republican Nation team. I just found your site, and I love the work you are doing. My name is Adriana, and I'm reaching out to you on behalf of Sheriff Richard Mack and the CSPOA, Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Associations team. As you may or may not know, Sheriff Mack is traveling around the country right now, educating sheriffs and citizens alike on the Constitution, the proper role of law enforcement, and how local sheriffs are there to protect the rights of the people. Would be open to having Sheriff Mack on your show in a segment about the Liberty Movement and some of the exciting things he's working on. I know your audience would get tremendous value from hearing him. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me here. You can also learn more about Sheriff Mack and the CSPOA on their website, cspoa.org. Thank you, and I look forward to hearing from you, Adriana. Okay, so I'm going to respond to Adriana. I would love to have Sheriff Mack on our show. Hold on one second, guys. Please let me know a time and date that would be good for him, and we'll get the ball rolling. One of the few perks of having Siri is that she does all the writing for you, but apparently she doesn't understand Spic, which is my English language, which is basically I spoke Spanish first before I spoke English because I was raised in a family, a family that was Hispanic, that they came from Cuba, so they didn't really speak English. So I have the whole accent, I have the whole Miami, I guess, what people call the Miami accent. But here we go. Let's see the video. Let's hear the video of the Star Spangled Banner, the version that was sent to me. Because I will always and forever represent you, the people, always. And if you want to also email me, you can email me at Jace, that's J-A-S-E, at therepublicannation.com. So let's take a listen.
There was a lawyer once, his name was Francis Scott Key. He penned a song that I'm sure you're aware of. You've seen it. It's in most hymnals throughout our churches. It's called the National Anthem. It is our song as an American. We go, however, to a ball game. We stand in our church services and we sing the words of that song, and they float over our minds and our lips, and we don't even realize what we're singing. Most of us have memorized it as a child, but we've never really thought about what it means. Let me tell you a story. Francis Scott Key was a lawyer in Baltimore. The colonies were engaged in vicious conflict with the mother country, Britain. Because of this conflict and the protractedness of it, they had accumulated prisoners on both sides. The American colonies had prisoners and the British had prisoners. And the American government initiated a move. They went to the British and they said, let us negotiate for the release of these prisoners. They said, we want to send a man out to discuss this with you. They were holding the American prisoners in boats about 1,000 yards offshore. And they said, we want to send a man by the name of Francis Scott Key. He will come out and negotiate to see if we can make a mutual exchange. On the appointed day, in a rowboat, he went out to this boat and he negotiated with the British officials. And they reached a conclusion that men could be exchanged on a one-for-one basis. Francis Scott Key, jubilant with the fact that he'd been successful, went down below in the boats, and what he found was a cargo hold full of humanity, men. And he said, men, I've got news for you tonight. You're free. He said, tonight I have negotiated successfully your return to the colonies. He said, you'll be taken out of this boat, out of this filth, out of your chains. As he went back up on board to arrange for their passage to the shore, the admiral came and he said, we have a slight problem. He said, we will still honor our commitment to release these men, but it'll be merely academic after tonight. It won't matter. And Francis Scott Key said, what do you mean? He said, well, Mr. Key, he said, tonight we have laid an ultimatum upon the colonies. Your people will either capitulate and lay down the colors of that flag that you think so much of, or you see that fort right over there, Fort Henry? He said, we're going to remove it from the face of the earth. He said, how are you going to do that? He said, if you will, scan the horizon of the sea. And as he looked, he could see hundreds of little dots. And he said, that's the entire British war fleet. He said, all of the gunpowder, all of the armament is being called upon to demolish that fort. It will be here within striking distance in a matter of about 2.5 hours. He said, the war is over. These men would be free anyway. He said, you can't shell that fort. He said, that's a large fort. He said, it's full of women and children. He says, it's predominantly not a military fort. He said, don't worry about it. They said, we've left them a way out. And he said, what's that? He said, do you see that flag way up on the rampart? He said, we have told them that if they will lower that flag, the shelling will stop immediately. And we'll know that they've surrendered, and you'll now be under British rule. Francis Scott Key went down below and told the men what was about to happen. And they said, how many ships? He said, hundreds. The ships got closer. Francis Scott Key went back up on top and he said, men, I'll shout down to you what's going on as we watch. As twilight began to fall, and as the haze hung over the ocean as it does at sunset, suddenly the British war fleet unleashed. He says, the sound was deafening. There were so many guns that there were no reliefs. He said, it was absolutely impossible to talk or hear. He said, suddenly the sky, although dark, was suddenly lit. And he says, from down below, all he could hear the men, the prisoners, saying was, tell us where the flag is. What have they done with the flag? Is the flag still flying over the rampart? Tell us. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours into the shelling. Every time the bomb would explode and it would be close to the flag, they could see the flag in the illuminated red glare of that bomb. And Francis Scott Key would report down to the men below, it's still up. It's not down. The admiral came and he said, your people are insane. He said, what's the matter with them? He said, don't they understand this is an impossible situation? Francis Scott Key said he remembered what George Washington had said. He said, the thing that sets the American Christian apart from all other people in the world is he will die on his feet before he'll live on his knees. The admiral said, we have now instructed all of the guns to focus on the rampart to take that flag down. He said, we don't understand something. Our reconnaissance tells us that that flag has been hit directly again and again and again, and yet it's still flying. We don't understand that. But he said, now we're about to bring every gun for the next 3 hours to bear on that point. Francis Scott Key said the barrage was unmerciful. All that he could hear was the men down below praying. The prayer. God, keep that flag flying where we last saw it. Sunrise came. He said there was a heavy mist hanging over the land, but the rampart was tall enough. There stood the flag, completely nondescript, in shreds. The flagpole itself was at a crazy angle, but the flag was still at the top. Francis Scott Key went aboard and immediately went into Fort Henry to see what had happened. And what he'd found had happened was that that flagpole and that flag had suffered repetitious direct hits. And when hit had fallen, but men, fathers, who knew what it meant for that flag to be on the ground, although knowing that all of the British guns were trained on it, walked over and held it up humanly until they died. Their bodies were removed and others took their place. Francis Scott Key said what held that flagpole in place at that unusual angle were patriots' bodies. He penned the song, "Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. O'er the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that the flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet fly and wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? The debt was demanded. The price, it was paid.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the that star spangled
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I could not interrupt the national anthem. I could not interrupt the national anthem. I have a massive respect. But there you go. There you have it. Thank you for that video. I have seen it before. I didn't realize I had seen it before. But that is a story on how we got the national anthem. And that is what the left continues to say is a racist anthem. An anthem that had nothing to do with African Americans, but the freedom of this country and the people that sacrificed their lives for this country. That is the flag that they attack so much and so many have died for. And we're talking about that was hundreds of years ago. How many have died after? During World War II, World War I, Korean War, Vietnam War, Iraq War. This is why we fight so hard to keep the freedoms that we have in this country, because so many people died for this country. And that cannot go in vain. Now, I want you to hear some wise words that was from a president that I really admire quite a lot. And this is what all Americans should be doing at this time right now. And make no mistake, we must continue to fight. We must continue to fight this fight. I'm not talking about violence. I'm talking about our voices. We don't need violence. We need to just show up to the ballot box and put in the right people in place and make sure they are not stealing our elections. As we all know, the Maricopa County results will be coming out soon. We already know from sources that Georgia, the irregularities could have tipped. Georgia's red, guys. Don't be fooled by what the left is saying. That's why they're trying so hard. They're trying so hard to stop these audits. Because you're going to see the difference between what an audit looks like and what a recount looks like. If you recount the same fraudulent votes, you're not going to get a different result. Now, if you do a forensic audit, you're going to get different results. Because you're verifying signatures, you're verifying a lot more than just the same ballots that were there. That being said, let's hear a wise man who I admire so much. And if you guys want to follow me on Instagram, you can. It's the Republican Nation. The design for the bus is official. It's been approved. And they will begin wrapping the bus next week. So the TRN tour is going full throttle, ladies and gentlemen. We are going full blown on this. And I want to get you guys' opinion. You can follow me, Republican Podcast. On Facebook, YouTube, the Republican Nation. You just search Republican Nation. I'm there unless I've been shadow banned. But let's hear some wise words.
We cannot buy our security, our freedom from the threat of the bomb by committing an immorality so great as saying to a billion human beings now enslaved behind the Iron Curtain, give up your dreams of freedom, because to save our own skins, we're willing to make a deal with your slave masters. Alexander Hamilton said, a nation which can prefer disgrace to danger is prepared for a master and deserves one. Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? Well, Nikita Khrushchev has told his people he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side, he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better red than dead, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war. Because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard round the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. This is the meaning in the phrase of Barry Goldwater, peace through strength. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material computations. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. And he said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
That, my friends, is what should keep you motivated to continue to fight for this country. This country is great, and it's always good to look back at history, because history can teach us a whole lot of shit. History teaches you this isn't new, what's happening right now. This is not new by no means. This has been going on for decades, and we got to keep fighting it, unfortunately. Unfortunately, we're in a time right now in this country where patriotism is looked frowned upon by the left. The flag is hated by the left, and we must continue to fight and remember what that flag stood for and what America stands for. Freedom, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, all those beautiful things that everyone that comes to this country fleeing comes to find. So let's use what's happening in Cuba as an example of what we do not want in this country. We do not want it. We're not going to have it. And we're willing to fight for it. God bless you, God bless your families, and God bless this beautiful country we call America.
It is time for our politicians to summon the bravery and determination of our American ancestors. It is time. It is time to plant our flag and to protect the greatest of this nation for citizens of every race, in every city, and every part of this glorious land. For the sake of our honor, for the sake of our children, for the sake of our union, we must protect and preserve our history, our heritage, and our great heroes is in our hands. And ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come. We will make America great again.